Sorry about that, guys.
That's all right.
Yeah, to kind of start off, I would love to know, specifically Benjamin, I know with the background behind this is kind of so heartbreaking, the story of your brother, and then obviously with your daughter as well. How cathartic has this experience been to see this come to fruition? El Chicano is here. You've done it.
Yeah, it's been a real like emotional roller coaster, a real emotional journey. It's been tough, but at the same time, I'm very proud and very thankful, and blessed that you know I was able to tell this story after these unfortunate tragedies. You know, from losing my brother to gang violence, and then losing a daughter, and then suddenly losing my mom actually passed during prep. And our first day of shooting was on her birthday. So it's been heavy. It's very heavy.
Wow. Joe, I'd love to know from your perspective. I mean, you've known, both of you guys know each other for some, you know, a couple decades now, but having known that he was writing this story, when you finally got that script, you were like, oh, this is something really cool. How excited were you for, you know, Ben, knowing that you guys could actually do this?
Oh, I think tremendously excited. You know, it was one of those things where, you know, Ben and I were wanting to tell kind of the same story, and we both, you know, were very like-minded, our tastes and the kind of films we like. So it was one of those wonderful moments where you go, I think we could, you know, we could figure this out and really kind of hone this thing and get a script in a fighting shape. We can go make this movie.
Tell me what about going up to Calgary and the kind of logistics of all that, how that kind of tricked everything up for you guys, but it seems to work. Yeah. You don't notice it at all watching it.
No, brother. And you know, it was born of, you know, everybody basically, you know, the traditional kind of studio structures and streaming services, you know, we kind of went to see with the script. They all agreed the script was really great, but they weren't in a position to kind of make that type of film. And I think we heard, like, famously, you know, from one of them, you know, you need a Caucasian influence in the movie, which I thought was a really interesting coded message that you know, this kind of thing wasn't going to fly with an all Latino cast. So who should come to our rescue but our white hockey friends to the north that read the same script and thought, you know, we really love this, we want to help you make it. So part of that too was, you know, Calgary has a 30% rebate to, like, the rest of Canada, only about 5% better than Vancouver. Ben and I both kind of fell in love with the city. We both thought, God, Calgary has really been shot. And so we started looking around for places to kind of match L.A., and we were hugely successful. And then, you know, the week we did shoot in L.A. kind of plug-threaded everything else. So we were very fortunate. But, yeah, you don't see the seams on that garment. It really works.
So I'm in Dallas, Texas, so I've got to ask, how did you guys end up with my boy Raul, a Texan, playing this L.A.-born character?
You know, it was funny. He was first presented to me over there at CAA, and, you know, what I've always done, you know, going through the business almost after 30 years, I trust my instincts, and it was just an instinctual thing, seeing his look and seeing his work, and it got to a point where he reminded me of somebody from the neighborhood, and that was it, and we were right.
You know, I got to watch the proof of concept where the bar fight.
Right.
Can y'all talk a bit about how much fun it was to dive into that, that fight, but also there's great car chases. I mean, for you guys and your stunt background, there must have been a lot of just, you guys know what you're doing on this film, basically.
Yeah, you know, it's funny, brother, like, you know, with Ben, we always had a joke that was the easiest part, because, you know, we've got, in addition to Ben's, you know, 25 years doing it, directing second unit, directing his own stuff, directing the whole Berlanti universe, you know, having that part of it was lovely and additive, but having the absolute, you know, kind of bare bones stunt knowledge and having guys like, you know, Frank Torres, who has been known for 30 some years, and literally is probably the best of the business. You know, he just did boss level with me. That same team that did El Chicano at boss level did the A team, did Smoking Aces. So, you know, you've got really, really high level guys that know what they're doing. And also, you know, Ben and I kind of called in all our markers, all our favors from our friends, and goes, you know, we don't have the kind of dough that we normally have, but we will if we do this right. And that's why I think there's so many, you know, so much of the movie works, because it is all practical stuff. You know, those car hits are real, those fights are real. You know, there's no CG. We have no CG elements really in that movie, other than, you know, a case removal, but it's safety. It's a safety thing. It's not like we're flying through midair. And I think that is testament to, again, Ben's background, simply understanding that stuff and understanding how to make it look great.
As far as, sadly, I didn't get to see this on the big screen, but can y'all talk to me about being able to, like, I feel like this movie would look amazing on the big screen, the camera work you guys have. Can y'all talk about, you know, this is something you really should see in a theater.
Yeah, you have to see it in a theater. I mean, especially with, you know, the combination of what the action is and the performances and just the fact of the score itself. And what it brings with you hearing those chopper pipes, it's amazing. And also, brother, you got to remember, like, you know, Craig Mann, who won an Oscar for Whiplash, mixed this movie. Mm-hmm. So you hear this in 5.1 in a theater. You know, we screened at the ArcLight, and it looks like a $50 million movie. You know, it's amazing.
Speaking of the sound, can y'all talk about the music? I love Mitch's work on this. This is it's very cohesive throughout the whole film.
I mean, how about that guy? Like, this hits a home run ball. You know, it's funny because I just downloaded, because, you know, I was like, I saw the El Chicano soundtrack, so I pre-ordered it, right? And Kapui, that, you know, which is kind of the death of Shadow at the beginning. Mm. And that great, you know, and I remember sitting there with me and Ben and Jason Hellman, the editor, and Mitch, and the moment when he gets on that bike and we're talking about, you know what, if we don't jump on the theme right here, it's going to look like he just murdered this guy in cold blood in front of these two kids. And so every time now hearing it, and the way that it kind of ends as Raul's running in the present after the whole thing at the warehouse at the beginning, it's like, it's just so Mitch's kind of his finesse with that. And you know, this is a guy, this is a Calgarian, this is a dude that, like, you know, it's like you meet him and you go, he's a total tribesman. Mitch had an innate understanding of what the music should be from jump. That great, almost like Aztec, those kind of chants and growls. It's really something. Yeah. It really is.
So let's talk. I mean, we talked a little bit about Raul, but the rest of this cast, some of the great, I think Latino actors out there, Jose Pablo, Marco Rodriguez was wonderful in this.
Oh, great. He's awesome.
Can y'all talk about being able to have a cast that, you know, is predominantly all Latino, and what that means for mainstream, you know, viewers being able to see this type of impact?
Right. Well, you know, it was important. It had to be a Latino on all Latino casts. It was my story. It was what I was exposed to coming up in the neighborhood in Los Angeles, and to be able to grow up with these actors as a child, you know, Sal Lopez, Marco Rodriguez, these guys originally came from, like, you know, Luis Valdez, Nosotros Theater. You know, you'd seen them in Zoot Suit and understudies with plays like Bernabe. And so it was just this vast opportunity to have these guys, these actors, Marlene Forte, you know, come in and help tell the story. And like Joe said, he stressed that, you know, we've got like three different generations of actors, from Noel G to, you know, who's been around for a while, Emilio Rivera, to now Raul Castillo, Amy Garcia, David Castaneda, who's definitely having a moment right now too. And then you got George Lopez and Quinto Castillo as kind of these icons, you know, mutually exclusive kind of icons. One, Mexicana, kind of gigantic, and the other one very much Mexican American, very much just kind of staple in the comedy stand up scene. But not only that, you know, having his own show and George being a cultural icon of his own, you mentioned Marco Rodriguez, and I tell this story, it's one of my favorite stories about the movie. But we screened at the Latino Beer Company downtown, Sal Lopez Beer Company. I went up afterwards and went to Marco, and he was shaking. I mean, physically shaking. And I thought, oh my God, he hates the movie. You know, and I said, Marco, what's wrong, man? What's wrong? He turned around and he goes, Joe, I've been doing this for 42 years. I have never seen us on screen like that. And it was so moving to me. I got choked up. I really did. It was so such a meaningful, such a lovely thing for him to say. It meant a lot. And I think that was a testament to, I think, again, what Ben wanted and kind of tipping his hat and paying homage to all these guys that had influenced him as a young Latino, as a young actor, as a young guy coming up in Hollywood. To be able to kind of put them all under one roof was really remarkable.
I'd love to know about the Aztec influence, not only the knife, but just the look of El Chicano. How quickly did y'all come up with that that view of how he would look?
Well, for me, it was what I was exposed to as a child. I mean, everybody had, you know, it was important to tell that part of the story about the culture, about the Aztecs, the pride of the people, the warriors, the warrior part of it, that sense of tribe, family, and also being exposed to it again, like as a kid, you know, everybody had this, you know, Moctezuma, you know, storytelling, you know, cousins and uncles talked about those things, and also close to the Aztec calendar. There was, you know, it was iconic to have those things in your house. So it was definitely a great symbolism. But we wanted to just touch on it. We didn't want to go too mythical with that. But I think it was just enough.
You know, another. Last question.
Sorry to interrupt. I apologize, but we have to wrap up. Yeah.
No worries. I can do last question.
Yeah, last question, if you don't mind.
Yeah, Ben, I'd love to know a little element of the movie that I really love that you put in there was the boxing and that warrior mentality of boxers, especially young kids getting into boxing. Can you talk a bit about that and how that is
a great question. That's a great question. You know, and going back to, again, you know, how I grew up and what I was exposed to. I know it sounds repetitive, but, you know, it's like in the Latino communities, you know, majority of time now it's a bit different now, but back when I was growing up in the 70s and early 80s, it was like boxing was just a normal sport. It was like playing Little League baseball, and it was in every community. It was mainly in the inner city communities, you know, communities that were below middle class, and you know, product of you know, of a welfare child, which I was, you know, and it was a way to get you off the streets and to teach you discipline and to show how much heart you had. And it was definitely something we wanted to put in this film. I really appreciate that, because that was a really important thing. I remember that as brothers, as much as you fight or you had arguments, whatever, we always got along when it came to the gym.
Guys, thank you so much for the time.